Just want to thank you for being patient with our issue today. Some of you know we the main pipe coming into our church building, the water pipe broke. But I do want to give a shout out, he might not be here, to Neil, who is here like all day, yesterday on his birthday, to like close to midnight. And at least we got some water back so we can survive. Sometimes, you know, you appreciate you don't appreciate the things you have until you don't have it anymore. So pray with us that we can get that fixed in preparation for VBS tomorrow. 200 kids needing to go to the bathroom. We're going to need some bathrooms. So anyway, when I was a young pastor, which, well, that would be 38 years ago, began ministry, I went to a conference for pastors, and I heard a message. It was probably from my favorite speaker now even. His name is Stu Briscoe, great preacher. And he preached on this passage. And I have read the passage many times, even as a young man, but I never heard it that way. God spoke to my heart. And that passage, in this passage, means so much to me. I read it often. I'm reminded of it. I ask God to teach me from it all the time. I believe that it is a passage for pastors, but not only. For anybody that's in the kingdom of God, anybody that's ministering and serving, whether as a deacon, Sunday school teacher, somebody that's helping out, this is a passage that you and I need to know. And I entitled this message today, Life Question, Changing Questions for Believers. Because I think if you can answer these questions from this passage, you will be different people. You will. Let's pray together as we look at this. Lord God, we come before you, and I thank you so much for how you minister to us and you speak to our hearts. And Lord, these are very, very powerful words that you gave to Paul to speak to us. I pray that you minister to us and allow us, Lord, to understand them. And then, Lord, by your grace, by the Spirit of God, that we can apply them into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think one of the problems we have these days in America and probably all over the world is, and we've been talking about this last week, we talked about it in chapter 3, and then before that in chapter 2, is we love to do what I call worshiping celebrity pastors and personalities. We love to do that. You know, who doesn't want to hear from Francis Chan? You know, when he came, people want to take pictures with him. You know, as if you touch him and have a picture, you can prove that you're a better person. And we do that. There's a lot of names you can bring up, just people that we love, you know, that we love to read about, that we love to watch in videos, that we love to do Bible study with, you know, series and so forth. I was just watching some clips on YouTube with John Maxwell. What a great leader, speaker. Oh, my goodness. And then we get to a place where we just think they are just awesome. And they are. But really, who are they? Who are they? I think we need to ask ourselves, we, as a result as well, do we aspire to be people like that? If we can just speak a little better, we can do a little better, we can do this and that, you know, we will become like them. And in our world, that's kind of what we look for. But the scripture is different. When you read this passage and just be open to it, you're like, really, Paul? Is that what you believe in? Is that what really matters to you? Because that's kind of not how we look at things. So let's look into it. First of all, as he writes this to the Corinthian Christians, he is asking a question, and we should be asking, who are we? Who are we? The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul now, probably the greatest church planter, the apostle who penned so many letters in the New Testament, the person that is just, can you think of another person that is not Jesus Christ? That is the greater personality in the Christian community ever in the last 2,000 years. But when he writes and he describes who he was, he says, as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the mysteries, God has revealed. Now, you have to get into it. A lot of translation translate this wrong, and the NIV actually translates this word wrong, the word servant. And some other translate it as ministers. No, that's not the word. The word here in the Greek is the word hupaete. Now, if you don't know what that word means, there's actually about six words in the New Testament that describes, and you can translate it into the word slave. There's the word doulos. Love that. That is the word slave. We like to use servant, but it's slave. But this word hupaete, is a different kind of slave. There are different levels of slaves. So you can believe that. Nowadays, we don't like slavery. We don't talk about slavery. We think that's horrible. Back in those days, and many, many years, for thousands of years, in fact, slavery is a part of life. Horrible thing, because we're humans, and humans are depraved. Hupaete, the Greek word, hupa means under. And etes mean rower. Now you say, what does that mean, under rower? What is an under rower? You need to understand that word in the context of what they had back in those days. Back in those days, there will be ships. And the ships are not powered by engines. There are no such thing. There might be sails, but there are no engines. And when there's no wind, a big ship, especially a warship, what would they do? They can't just stay there in the water. They have rowers. Who rows? Well, the only kind of rowers there are rowers that are slaves. You get the slaves to row for you. And most of the ships have three levels of rowing. And the hupaetes are the lower level, the lowest level. They are the under rowers. They're the slaves. They're the ones with no names. They don't care. They're the worst ones, you know. As you get better, the guy likes you better than the master, and you go up higher and higher and higher. That's what happens. So Paul uses that word to describe himself and to describe the leaders in the church community, to describe Christians. We are servants. No, we are under rowers. We are operates of Christ. So who are we? So, well, that doesn't sound real exciting, you know. I don't really want to be a part of that kind of scene. It isn't as if Paul is not a great man. It isn't as if Paul is not there preaching. It isn't as if Paul doesn't go and say, you know what, I want you guys to. It's not like he's not a leader. He's a great leader. He's a great apostle. He comes with authority. He does all those kind of things. But when he sees himself, when he shines the spotlight upon who he is, he understands that he is nothing but a hupaete. He's an under rower of Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He doesn't see himself as this great big pastor who writes all these books, you know, that has to be on television and everywhere, all that kind of stuff. No. He would never want that. In a room, if somebody pointed out Paul, I want to introduce Paul, he's the greatest man in the world, he would shy from that. He would say, no, you're wrong. You know, today in my profession as pastors, there are way too many that love the spotlight. You know, when you have a spotlight on you, you take it away from somebody else. You know who you take it away from? Maybe other people, yes. You take it away from Jesus Christ. And I'll say this again and again and again. I didn't pen it, but you know what? There should never be more than one hero in the church. Never, never, never. And that hero is always Jesus Christ. If not, something's wrong with that church. It doesn't matter if the church has 20,000 people. It doesn't matter if the church has 40,000 people. It doesn't matter at all. That isn't a church. No man, no woman should ever take the spotlight. Jesus. We are under rowers. We are on the lowest tier of slavery. We are just rolling the oar. We're not the master on the top deciding what direction to go to. Oh no, we're not. In my ministry as pastor, I had a lot of opportunities to do other things. Been offered other things. Been offered superintendents of districts. I tell you that not to tell you that I had anything great, but I want to let you know every time I was offered, I said, no, I'm a simple pastor. God has called me to be a pastor. And wherever the church he puts me in, and I haven't been in many, I've only been in three, I'm pastor there. That's it. You know, God has called us to different ministries. I hope you know who you are. I hope you know your giftedness. I hope you know what God has called you to be. There was a phrase, you know, when we were going to Bible school, they always said, you know, if God has called you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king, you know? That's the phrase we always like to talk about. Missionaries will come and tell us those things, you know? But there's another phrase too, you know? If God has called you to be a king, don't stoop to be a missionary. The point there is basically this. God has called you and I to do something. We are under rowers. We are hooperetes. And whatever that is, go do it. Second question that Paul basically asks is, what are we to do? What are we to do? If you understood that you are a slave, you are an under rower, you are there pulling on that oar of that ship, that church, that ministry that God has called you to be a part of, you're pulling on it, what are we to do? Verse 2, it says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. It's very simple. The ministry is not that complicated. Being a Christian is not that complicated. Sometimes we like to complicate everything. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Sometimes, you know, I look at these things, discipleship program, this program, that program, and my mind is spinning. It's not that complicated. It's simple. We have to be faithful to what God has called us. If we are an under rower, we pull on that oar. When it says go, we just keep pulling and pulling and pulling. And so we don't know where we're going because we're underneath. We're in the lowest tier of the oar rowing. But it doesn't matter. That's what we do. You know, it's like, you know, if somebody is a cook, you know, in a restaurant, he decides, you know what, I don't want to be a cook. I want to go out and wait on tables. I want to talk to people. I want to be the maitre d'. Well, he would be an awful cook then, wouldn't he? Because his job is to cook. And if he's faithful to do what he's supposed to do, he will be a good cook. There are things that you and I are called to do. God has given us giftedness. God has called us to ministry. That's why it's so important for you to understand, where is it that God has given you to minister? What are you to do? I mentioned it before a couple weeks ago. Don't ever go to church because you like the pastor's preaching. Don't ever go to church because you like the children's program there. You see, when you do that, you say, my life is about me. I just have to be faithful to me. You know? That's what God has called me to be me. No. God has called you to be faithful to a calling he has given to you. And say God wanted you to be in a church of 20 people. He said, no, I really want to be in that church, you know. They're a lot more exciting there. The pastor there is much more, you know, much better in preaching. And the music, I love that music, you know. We here, we can't do anything here. But if God has called you there, there it is that you need to be. Sometimes we think, that's for missionaries, you know. That's for missionaries out there. I'm not a missionary. And then we take ourselves away from what God has called us to be. And we are not faithful to the calling that God has given to us. We might not even know what the calling is because we have no interest in it because all we care about is what's good for me. But that's not what the Apostle Paul says. And that's not what we ought to be. We need to be faithful to God. It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Now, there is a general thing for God's people, so you need to know what that trust is. That trust is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to exercise the telling and ministering to others of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And as a pastor, that's my job. There's all kinds of things that God would have me to do, but that is primary in there. I must share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't make up another gospel. I can't make up some other purposes that God has called me to. This is what it is. It is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I remember when God called me in ministry at the age of 19, studying engineering. Loved it too. And when I was wrestling with that, let me tell you, the primary thing that came forth is always the gospel message. Am I willing to give up anything else and sacrifice anything else and leave anything else because the gospel message is what God has called me to do? And he wanted me in full-time ministry for that sake. And that is what has driven me for the last, literally, well, it'll be 40-something years now since the calling the Lord has given to me. What are we to do? We are to be faithful. All right? Faithfulness is what matters. In fact, you know, when you go to other parts of scriptures and you talk about, you remember that story about the servant? One day, you know, the Lord Jesus is going to say to us, well done, good and what? Well done, good and wealthy servant. Well done, good and very capable servant. Well done, good and, you know, faithful. Somebody said it here. Well done, good and faithful servant. You and I are going to be judged on the basis of our faithfulness, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. It's faithfulness. Has God given you a trust? Yes, he has. Not all of you will be pastors. Maybe some of you out there should be pastors. You just don't want to do it. Maybe some of you should be something you're not. And God has called you to, and you know it. Are you faithful to it? What are we to do? Third question. This is really awesome. How are we to react? I want to preface this by letting you know that we are not to be mavericks. God didn't call us to be, I don't care about anybody else. All right? And I want to preface this by saying, it's not about judgment that Christians can't judge. Christians need to judge. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to ethics, when it comes to morality, when it comes to those kind of things, Christians need to judge. The Bible tells us that. In fact, we need to judge out there to see what's going on so that we don't just melt in there and whatever happens, happens. No, no. We have a solid foundation in the Word of God to tell us how to live, how to think. All those things are there, and we need to make judgment on those. But this is talking about something else here. And he goes on, and he says, he begins in verse 3, he says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. You say, man, Paul, who do you think you are? You're under no accountability? That's not what Paul is talking about. What Paul is saying is this, I don't need the accolades of people out there to tell me how to behave and what I should do. Because a lot of times that's what we do. We look out there when people are praising us. Oh, good, I'm going to do more of that. You know, some people don't like this. Oh, I better change it, you know. We are basically living politically correct with our culture. Or our people, our church, you know, what is it that my people want? That's what I do. If you're a pastor, you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a deacon. This is a popularity context we get into all the time. And Paul said, I am never going to allow that to happen. Because I want to tell you something. This is something that Sue Briscoe taught me and 38 years ago. And I remember, I said, wow, that's so true. He said, pastors, he was speaking to pastors, 2,000 of us. He said, you go to a church, I can tell you this right now, there's three kinds of people that greet you there. Now, I guess CBC may be different, but probably not. There's a group of people that's going to love you like there's no tomorrow. God bless you, those of you that are like that to me, and there are plenty here. You know, you say the best things to me. And I want to tell you, it ministers to me. Because you know what? No matter who we are, even though we're pastors and some of us may not have an insecure personality, you know, we still love to hear those things. Because who doesn't want to be praised? Who doesn't want to be saying, you know, you did a good job, right? That's so good. You know, every Sunday I have people coming to me all the time. Love that message. Really ministered to me. But I want to tell you that when I hear that from you, it isn't something that makes my head big, and it should never. I'm so happy that God is ministering to you through me. I love that. I love that. I go home, I thank the Lord. You know, such and such said this to me. Thank you, Lord, that the message touched him. And there are people like that. There are people that's always going to be like that. And then Stuart Briscoe said, you know, it's not a set of people, though, you know. They're usually sitting on a side somewhere, and their arms are folded together. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you say. They're just going to hate on you. They're not going to like you. They're going to criticize you. It doesn't matter what you say. Whatever you say, they're going to say, you know, I never got anything out of that, you know. You know, I don't hear anything I want to hear. All right, that's just going to happen. And you're not going to change them. They'll break your heart every time. So true. Every pastor faced that. And then there's a third set of people, and he was kind of chill about it. He said, by the time they invite you to dinner, and by the time you get to the dessert, you know exactly what you better do and what you better not do. And then you go home, and you want to quit right there. And you know what, he said? If you're going to live like that on the basis of that, quit now. Don't be a pastor. The Apostle Paul said, I care very little if I'm judged by you. He said, I don't care. Because I am going to be faithful to God. I am going to preach the word of God. I'm going to tell you what it is. And in fact, later on in 1 Corinthians, you know he's telling them. He's telling them lots of tough stuff. He said, I don't care how you react to me. It doesn't matter. If it's true, it's going to be true. Wow. Very few of us pastors dare to say that, you know. You already know how hard it is to be a pastor. I share with you all the time, you know, 90% of pastors don't make it to the end. But Paul, he says, I don't really care. I don't care because my calling is from God. I am pastor of this church. I am pastor of this ministry. I'm going to do that because of God, not because of you, not because of you, not because of you. And some church leaders probably pretty mad at him in Corinth at the point when they read this. And then he goes on, he says, I'm not even caring any judging from human court. In other words, I don't care what the world says about it. Because later on, I want to tell you something. He is going to attack some issues that we have to attack today. He's going to attack issues of divisiveness, of homosexuality, of divorces, and all those kind of things. He's going to attack those things. And we here today in America, well, don't touch those things, Pastor. You're going to be in trouble. They might start protesting out there. Don't do that, Pastor. Be careful what you say. The Apostle Paul said, really? You really think I care about what the court, the Greek court, the Roman court, is going to judge me? If I cared, I would have quit long ago. And then he goes on, he says, indeed, I do not even judge myself. So I don't even determine how good or bad I am. He says, because you know why? Conscience cannot be trusted. I leave here and I think, you know, wow, I did a great job today in church. Really? Maybe not. You know, I just ministered to this group of people. Wow, God, I did it. I was a superstar. Really? Maybe you were terrible. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. You see, how are we to react to these things? What we need to do as God's people, whether pastor, whether deacon, whether Sunday school teachers, you need to be faithful to what God has called you to do, and you do not react because somebody there don't care about you. That's not to say you can just go on and be a maverick and bully people everywhere. No, that's not what he was doing. What he was doing is being faithful to the word of God, living by the Spirit of God, walking by the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he was doing. And just because someone reacted to him in a negative way, it's not going to change what he's going to do. Finally, when will we be judged? This is so important for us to know. Verse 5, he says, there'll be a time. He's talking about the end time. He says, your motives, the motives of your hearts will be revealed. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? Are we there because we want to be famous? Did we write those books because we want to make a lot of money? Did we do that conference because, you know what, how can they do it without me? Am I teaching Sunday school class because, by the way, they just worship me. These guys just worship me. The motives of your heart is so important. And God will judge that, not what you have accomplished. Get that? You got to get that. The motives is what he will judge. You know, one of the things I do, I want to tell you this, when I serve with you guys and to staff or whatever, I tell you that. It's not what you have accomplished. I will evaluate a person on the basis of their efforts. You know what? A lot of you are Asians here, and sometimes we have this problem. You know, the Asian F, right? An Asian F is an A minus, we know.
Because we don't care about an A minus. We want the A. We want the straight A's, you know. You're going to be valedictorian. You're nothing. That's what we tell our children. Man, what if your kid is just not that bright as far as academics? He might be really bright, anything else and everything else, but academic, he's a C student. And no matter how hard he tries, he just only C's, you know? And he comes home with C's. And you just think that he's a dope. But he's not. He's so awesome, great, because he tries so hard. And something else he can be awesome in. But we evaluate people on the basis of what the world evaluates, and we do that in the church. We do that with one another, with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know what? God doesn't evaluate us that way. It isn't what we accomplish. It is what our motives were. And then when he judges us, when he gives the praise, it says here, he's going to base it on our motives. Was it because we love God and love people? Was it because we are faithful to him? Did we try our very best to serve him and minister him? I want to tell you, it says, then he will give all his praises. Now, we're not talking about evil things here, not at all. Because he's not talking about, you know, punishments. He's not talking about all these things. He's talking about praises. This is how our Lord is going to praise us, on the basis of us understanding that we are huperete, that we are under rowers. On the basis of the fact that we have a calling, and are we faithful to that calling? On the basis of how we react to people criticizing us or judging us. Do we care? Do we change our lives? Do we adjust who we are on the basis of wanting the praises of others? And on the basis of our motives. You know, God has called us to some awesome things. I love being a pastor, I want to tell you. I love him. When I was called out to a ministry and I had to give up my engineering career, it was hard in the beginning. And it almost felt like I gave up a lot. Full scholarship from the hardest school to get into in New York City. Parents crying, newspaper articles, you know, all those things. Seems like a lot to give up. A couple years into ministry, Barbara can tell you that. So I didn't give up a thing. There was all trash compared to what God has called me to be. And that is to be his servant. I wouldn't give up being a pastor for the world. Absolutely not. Because that's what God has called me to be. What has God called you to be? What is it that God has called you to do? I tell you, if you discovered it, you know what I'm saying. If you haven't, well, discover it, and then you would know what I'm saying. You wouldn't give it up for the world. And everything that you had in the past, whatever it is that you have accumulated, your treasures, your fame, your value, it doesn't matter what it is, that's nothing but garbage. And you wouldn't trade it for the world if you would discover it. The Apostle Paul, he knew that. How about you? Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for the calling that you have given to me, the calling that you have given to every single person in this room. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you have a great and awesome place for us. Lord, we are so glad to be huperetes, to be under rowers of your ministry, that you, the master, is standing there guiding the ship. The ship of our church, the ministry of this world, and we have a part to do with that. Oh, Lord God, I want to pray for each and every person here, that here in this room, in our church, that we would discover that place that you have given to us, and then in joy and excitement that we will apply everything that we are in it and roll that oar, because we serve you. Oh, Lord, we look forward